The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 16th chapter. Then Jesus said to the disciples, "There was a rich man who had a manager, and charges were brought to him that this man was squandering his property. So he summoned him and said to him, 'What is this that I hear about you? Give me an accounting of your management, because you cannot be my manager any longer.' Then the manager said to himself, 'What will I do now? Now that my master has taken the position away from me, I am not strong enough to dig, and I'm ashamed to beg. I have decided what to do so that when I am dismissed as manager, people may welcome me into their homes.' So summoning his master's debtors one by one, he asked the first, 'How much do you owe my master?' He answered, 100 jugs of oil. He said to him, 'Take your bill, sit down quickly, and make it 50. Then he asked another, "And how much do you owe?" He replied, 100 containers of wheat. He said to him, 'Take your bill and make it 80. And his master commended the dishonest manager because he had acted shrewdly. For the children of this age are more shrewd in dealing with their own generation than are the children of light. And I tell you, make friends for yourselves by means of dishonest wealth, so that when it is gone, they may welcome you into the eternal homes. Whoever is faithful in very little is faithful also in much. And whoever is dishonest in a very little is dishonest also in much. If then you have not been faithful with the dishonest wealth, who will entrust to you the true riches? And if you have not been faithful with what belongs to another, who will give you what is your own? No slave can serve two masters. For a slave will either hate the one and love the other, or be devoted to the one and despise the other. You can't serve God and wealth." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Please be seated. Before I begin, I just want to say that something happened in this congregation that may not happen, but that happened in many, many years. And I want to tell you, it's okay. You clapped in church. When the Spirit moves you, and God provides someone with the talents, and the congregation provides the instruments, it's okay. Just clap. Thank you. Dear siblings in Christ, grace to you and peace from God the Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Not gonna lie, today's gospel reading has challenged preachers since Luke put it into writing some 2,000 years ago. Got a couple preachers in the crowd nodding their heads, yeah. It's a parable. And sometimes we forget what a parable is. A parable is a story that Jesus told to point to bigger stories, to point to bigger truths. And so there were no literal managers and people who owed oil and grain. But there is a story here that has a depth of truth to it. There's an owner in this story, and there's a manager. A manager is a servant of the owner. A manager is a steward. Someone who takes care of something that belongs to someone else. And so maybe the first question we have to ask as we look at this parable is, what business is it of his to forgive a debt owed to someone else. I've been sitting on that question this week. What business is it of his to forgive a debt owed to someone else? Then, as I've been pondering that question, I had a story come to mind. This is not a parable, this is a church story. There was an unscrupulous businessman in one of the many congregations that I've served. And I'm not tipping any names or anything, because as an organist, I've served 8 congregations. As an intern or a pastor, I've served 6 congregations, so there's nobody with a name that has a good name on this.
And I don't remember names.
I think that's not hard to remember. But it was an unscrupulous businessman, and it was pretty well known that he took advantage of clients and others. But he was also wealthy and made significant donations to the church. There was another community member who was a prospective member of this congregation. He liked the ministries of the church. He felt like worshiping there was something he needed. But there was something holding him back from joining. In fact, he came to worship quite frequently, but some Sundays he came to communion and some Sundays he would not. I finally had a chance to ask him what that was all about. He made an appointment to see me during the week. Why do you sometimes take communion and sometimes not, friend? His response was, I've been cheated in business by one of your leaders, and I just cannot bring myself to take communion from his hand. Oh, what do I even say? What would you say? Do you know what we are doing on Sundays when we begin the service with confession and forgiveness? I am announcing to you the forgiveness of debts that are not mine to forgive. I am a servant, a steward, a manager. When I make the welcome to communion, I am welcoming you to the table of forgiveness. The table that is not mine. I am a servant, a manager, a steward. And so are you. You are a servant, a manager, a steward of God's love, God's forgiveness, God's abundance. So is Jesus, who started this whole business of forgiving on behalf of God. We are not the owner, the master, the king, the almighty. We are servants, managers, and stewards of what belongs to the almighty. And we are recipients of the almighty's forgiveness. Will we extend that on behalf of our Christian faith and the grace of God? Will we extend that to others who are burdened by literal death? Or will we support oppression? Our psalm talks about the poor and says, God will not forget the poor. God will also not forget those who mistreat the poor. Will we extend that graciousness to those who are not like us? On behalf of our Christian faith and the grace of God, instead of falling into deceptive traps set by those who would divide us by fear, anger, and hate, will we extend that because God has extended it to us? Have we really heard that word? Have we received that word? Martin Luther says the one who is rightly and worthily prepared to receive the Holy Sacrament is the one who believes the words given for you, for the forgiveness of sin. Do you believe that? And do you believe that as a gift for the person next to you, the person behind you, the person that doesn't know if they ought to repent of anything? There's no one on this planet who has ever lived or ever will live that has earned God's love. No one that could pay our debt to God on our own. As Paul writes, we have all sinned and fall short of the glory of God. It isn't a matter of degree. All means all. We may own the figurative 100 jugs of oil or 100 containers of wheat. Or we may literally owe or own up to our own stuff. Ungrateful hearts, nasty words, not caring for the poor, for the environment, for others of God's creation, other than us and ours. I had a conversation with an evangelical Christian recently, and this person made an off-the-cuff comment that Lutherans just don't take sin seriously. You know, doesn't matter what you do in life, everybody gets a free pass to heaven. That was the understanding of Lutheranism. It's a terribly cheap misunderstanding of the Lutheran understanding of grace. You've probably heard it too. People will say, we don't take the Bible seriously. What they really mean is we don't pick and choose those verses that make us look good and let us point our fingers at others. The fact is that we take the Bible deeply seriously and we live in the hope and gratitude of God's grace. We are, none of us, on the pre-screening committee for the kingdom of God. But we do strive to live like God's kingdom is coming on earth as it is in heaven, because that's what we pray for. It's not as simple as just proclaiming faith in Jesus. Anyone can do that and still hate their neighbors. No slave can serve two masters. For a slave will either hate the one and love the other, or be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God in love. The good news of the gospel is that the gospel writers cut through all of our self-denials. All of the stuff that we try to prop ourselves with in earthly ways. All of those temporal things that we hold on to that won't matter in the end. To clear the way for us to see Jesus. Jesus, who forgives sin without us having to pay the debt. Jesus pays the debt. All of them. And so our response is to live gratefully. What that means to each of us is something different. What does it mean to you to live gratefully? That your sins are forgiven and that God has given you all that you need. Some of us make music to express that joy. Now thank we all our God. And when we're done, we're just bursting with joy. Because we think about how great God is. To have given a composer all those notes in their head, to put them down on paper. To have at this point in the history of creation an organ, a digital organ, that can make sounds like this. For us, for our edification, to lift us up, to remind us how great God is. God, whose song is everlasting. I've said this before, but I'll say it again. We sing the Holy, Holy at Holy Communion. The preface concludes with the words, and with angels and archangels and the whole host of heaven, we join their unending hymn. And that's when Anglicans got all the stops. Because, you know, in order to accompany the angels, the archangels, and the whole host of heaven, you need a few extra stops. People of God, you are not in this alone. If you came here today feeling like you're alone in the world, you're not. The angels, the archangels, the saints, all the smart whisper, the whole host of heaven, surrounding, they're singing with you. Because God is good, and God's mercy endures forever. There's nothing you could ever buy that can compete with that. The eternal love of God. May the peace that passes all understanding keep your hearts and minds in praise of this one eternal, unchanging God who loves you so.